Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The things you already are doing, and be far more restrictive in the things that you're willing to do in this time.
Somebody on the text line's asking, you know, can you send me that Dr. Brilliant article? I can't. It wasn't an article. It's what he said in a conference call that my wife was on today that I took extensive notes on. But if you'd like to see an awful lot of his data points, all you need to do is follow him on Twitter, at Larry Brilliant, just like it sounds. LarryBrilliant, at Larry Brilliant. Epidemiologist, ending pandemics, wrote Sometimes Brilliant. He's a former head of the Google.org of World Health Organization. He ended smallpox. I mean, he ended smallpox. Not just him, obviously, but the team that he ran is the only team that ever got its arms around a global pandemic and cured it with medicine. So he knows what he's talking about more than anybody, I think, really out there. And, you know, somebody's like, complete BS. All right, you know, go ahead. You go ahead. Just don't come anywhere down my block. I mean it. And, you know, and I was reading another article today about how the darkest times are coming in terms of quarantine, and the article was pivoting to, you know, people sometimes slip into their worst natures when they've been around someone for too long, and that, you know, domestic violence could be on the rise, and that people are you know, getting fed up and don't know how to mentally cope with all of this. I have seen some hotels are opening floors for women who need to separate themselves from abusive relationships and so on and so forth. And it's really amazing when you look at just the trickle down of all this. It doesn't stop in any direction. The problem of COVID-19 affects every avenue of life. It doesn't stop in any direction. And, you know, it was the article pivoted to, you know, in America, in the last few years, there's been a level of cachet attached to victimhood, to the point where that one guy from that one show pretended he got beat up in Chicago and it was a big scandal and everyone found out he didn't. He got fired and publicly shamed. And I don't know why there is a value in victimhood now that people really, really either flock to or want a part of or position themselves as that. But it's time for everyone to knock off that mindset, because we're all victims here. Everyone is affected by this. Everyone on the planet. So you can't play the woe's me card. Everyone is affected by this. And look, I don't know that there's any real social cachet to have this sentiment anymore, but it's the truth. It's time for some steely resolve. If you weren't very tough on Monday, I hope you're tougher on a Friday. You know, it's time for America to bite its bottom lip and get just a little bit tougher. And that doesn't mean tougher against the virus. It means mentally tougher to get through this and not worried that we don't have another episode of Tiger King to watch. You know, we got to grow up, and the adults need to control the conversation. The adults need to make sure kids are staying in and not going out and not reaching that point where they finally drive you crazy and you're like, all right, just go then. You can't. These next 3 weeks, quote, are going to be the most important for you and your family's health in your life, end quote. So please plan accordingly, shall we say. I know a lot of people were trying to plan to just go out and go to a baseball game today. It would have been the first chance to do that in San Francisco all year. It was supposed to be the Giants' home opener. No team in the Bay does a better job of home openers, of nostalgia, of isn't it great to be back, and on-field ceremony and presentation. And I'm sure the Giants would have crushed it today, and then they probably would have gone out and got crushed by the Dodgers. As a matter of fact, Ray, we have a Stratomatic result to maybe share at some point today, or is that something that we have now, or do we need to wait another few innings before Stratomatic says we've gotten past the sixth? Where are we in this game? I don't know.
Well, actually, Stratomatic ended the game pretty much instantaneously.
Ah, congrats.
And their results come out, what am I trying to say, at 11 o'clock every day. So we're already on that one. This game is over.
Oh, that sounds like a tease, Ray. That to me sounds like a tease. You're saying the game's already over. That means we got the results. That means we have do we have a box score? Do we have projected?
Of course we do. In fact, what I'm trying to tell you is we have two box scores, one from the Stratomatic game and one from the baseball reference game, which they used with out of the park. And because they're at variance with each other, I kind of feel like we should use both of them.
Do the Giants pick up a win on their home opener in either scenario?
I think in one of them they did, right?
In both of them they did.
Whoa! Oh, my God! Giants are unstoppable at Oracle Park, and we are going to break down the pretend game that didn't happen at all. Why the hell not? Who got booed? How many cha-cha bowls were sold? Let's do it. Why not? Because we've also got John Shea joining us next segment. John has cranked out an idea to propose a playoff format that includes all 30 major league teams. He's also got a book coming out about Willie Mays. We'll talk to John Shea about all that around the corner. Don't you go anywhere. We know that everybody's home taking in the show in different ways. What makes radio great is you can get it in all kinds of different ways, not just on the radio anymore. Make sure you've downloaded the radio.com app on your lap or desktop on 95.7 The Game. Make sure you just are 95.7thegame.com. Go ahead, favorite the station, and boom, you got us in your pocket no matter where you go, thanks to radio.com. JD in for Kolsky, Damon Ratto and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
John Shea joins us in about 15 minutes to talk about his idea that says, let everybody be a playoff team. You don't even need to qualify. You're in. Congratulations, big round robin style tournament. We will talk about all that, plus his book about Willie Mays that he's got coming out. But first, we got results. We got results. Stratomatic. Yeah. How did the Giants do today, Ray, in the simulated game against the Dodgers in a home opener?
They won both games in both simulations, and the reason why I keep using both is because the variances between the two are going to get more and more hilarious as the year goes on. They won 6-4 in the Stratomatic game. The interesting things is that Johnny Cueto had a worse outing than Clayton Kershaw, but survived because of a late inning rally. Their best player so far is Wilmer Flores, who's playing first a lot, and their cleanup hitter. Are you sitting?
I am.
Yasiel Puig.
Wait a minute. So Stratomatic isn't just running simulations. They're also pretending they're general manager, too, because as far as I'm concerned, Yasiel Puig is not on the Giants' 40-man roster, as I currently understand it.
Well, he's not currently, but they've decided that they needed him. And if you're going to simulate the hell out of it.
So,
wow.
So the start was so dire that even Stratomatic was like, this lineup needs more power, and I don't care where you go to get it. I love it.
They're doing, you know, things like, they're doing injuries. They're doing people put on the 10-day DL. I mean, it's, you know, they're playing this for all it's worth.
Has Brandon Belt been concussed yet?
No, he is symptom free, but so far he's he's been okay, but not. I mean, he's been about what he always is, which is like a 238 hitter with I think two home runs.
Ooh, feels like a
not
team
playing
leader
against
almost.
Lefties, right?
That would seem to be. Yeah, he led off today, like in the Strat game.
Was he playing in left?
No, he was playing first and leading off. The left fielder was Alex Dickerson, although since he's hitting 083, this might have just
not
been
much longer.
So what? Yeah. So Flores didn't get the opening day start? Is that what you're telling me, or the home opener?
No,
I think
I may have inadvertently conflated the games. The Strat-O-Matic game, they actually won 3-0. I was giving you the baseball reference game. I didn't mean to do that, Ray.
I mean, come on. This is so important. Get it right, please.
Well, if you thought it was that important, you'd get a daily highlights guy. No, the important part of the Strat-O-Matic result is that the Giants are 4-3 and in the middle of the race for the division title after 7 entire games. But no, Belt was leading off. His head has so far been unharmed. Buster Posey is hitting .310. Wilmer Flores, like I said, has been probably their best player. And today, Jeff Samardzija pitched the larger part of a shutout, 4 hits and 6 1/3. And Tony Watson got his second save of the year and lowered his ERA to 23.14.
Nice.
The other interesting thing, the Giants drew 39,237 fictional people, which represents their lowest opening day crowd in ballpark history.
Uh-oh.
So,
did they dynamically?
Times are hard. We'll see what they draw tomorrow.
Did they dynamically price opening day incorrectly? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I think people dynamically avoided opening day.
That might be it.
Yeah, the thing, this is actually a note of reality. They've only opened the season at home 4 times since the new ballpark opened. So they always are on the road for the first week or a good part of it, which struck me as odd, but that's obviously a preference that they have in real life.
You think the Giants get a vote in that?
Oh, they could. They could.
Yeah.
They can request.
Can
make suggestions.
They
absolutely can do that.
Huh. Yeah. And my understanding is they have often requested to be on the road first.
Why? Does that just give you a better chance?
I think it goes all. Yeah. No, I don't know the. Go ahead, Ray.
I think they want to avoid rain and maybe hope that it warms up. But they have not opened a season at home since 2009.
Yeah.
So,
Ray, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Can I ask you? Did Billy Hamilton in either of these projections make the opening day roster on either of
in
these?
Both.
Wow. Yeah. How's Mauricio Dubon doing?
He's not playing.
Ooh.
I think he may somehow be injured. Because the two second basemen that I've seen are Wilmer Flores and Solano. I've seen no evidence of Dubon. Hamilton is hitting .226 and leading off in the baseball reference simulation.
Sounds about right.
On the other side of the bay, the A's broke out of the gates like an Olympic sprinter, and then they ran into their first losing streak of the year. They've lost 2 in a row in Minnesota. How are the A's doing?
A's are 6-2, leading their division. Here's where this stuff gets funny, because while the A's are 6-2 in the Strat-O-Matic and 7-1 in the baseball reference one, Seattle is 7-1 in the baseball reference one and 1-7 in the Strat-O-Matic one. So I like the way this is going to play out, because I think you're going to have some hilarious side-by-side results as the year goes on. I mean, I'd like to see somebody doing the classic 100,000 simulations every day, but I'm not so interested in this bit that I'm going to look for it.
At what point
we have two simulations, we're fine.
At what point are we going to take bets on the results of simulated games? Like, might we go there?
Oh, but they're taking bets on that NBA 2K thing. I mean, that, which I guess is sort of real, but if none of those guys can game a result, then I'm disappointed in their abilities. I mean, to me, that's a cry for help. If you really are going to sit there and try to say we need to bet on these games, you're screaming out for a meeting.
The 16 seed Derrick Jones Jr. is a 3.5-point favorite over the 1 seed Kevin Durant. Is this not incredible or what?
It's all incredible in that it's not credible.
Bovada's taking action, Ray.
Well, yeah, but you sounded way too excited about it.
Action is action, as wise men once said.
Do we have any unusual bets to be making going into the weekend? Do we have any odd sporting events happening anywhere? How is Yugoslavian table tennis doing?
I'll do some scouting for you. We'll see what we can
scouting
find.
For you. Get a little scouting report around the globe before it's all said and done.
Ray, for accuracy's sake, you said the Giants were 4-3 in one simulation. What's their record in the other? I missed that.
They're a proud 2-5 and dead last.
Okay.
In fact, they scored almost as many runs today in the Stratomatic simulation as they had scored the entire season up until then.
Why are you assuming they're proud of this?
Because their reality might be even worse.
0-7. You might be right. Would you like a daily reminder of how old we're all getting? I mean, besides,
yeah, because I don't have enough of those.
Yeah, besides our own reflections when we walk past mirrors and so on and so forth. So this one made me go, wow, I'm getting older. Ken Griffey Jr. made his Major League debut 31 years ago today. 31 years ago. Ken Griffey. I mean, the kid. When the kid is now officially, you know, that happened 31 years ago. Man, that's 13-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glover. 97 MVP. He's now a Hall of Famer. As beautiful a swing as you'll ever see in a major league game, and I don't think that that's too subjective. I mean, like, I don't know how you could almost argue against it. Ken Griffey Jr. was poetry in motion in terms of a swing. It was gorgeous. It was really, really beautiful.
Yeah, Omar Vizquel also made his major league debut in that same game at the Coliseum in Oakland, and there were a lot of great players in that game. I mean, those two, obviously, and then you look at the A's, who, you know, had the team that obviously won the World Series in 89 with, you know, McGuire and Canseco and, you know, Dave Henderson, who's no longer with us, Tony Phillips, who's no longer with us, Dennis Eckersley. You know, Dave Stewart started that game. A lot of good and great players of their time in that game at the Coliseum on this date in 1989. The A's won that game 3-2.
So you know how you kind of like you just believe something or you thought it so true that you were astonished. So I thought for sure as I was writing down like Ken Griffey Jr., 13-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glover, MVP, and I had to look up the MVP year for 97, Hall of Fame. I didn't have to look that up. I knew he was in the Hall of Fame. I also just presumed and wrote down ROY, Rookie of the Year. He did not win Rookie of the Year in 1989. Would either of you like to venture a guess as who the American League Rookie of the Year was in 1989? It ain't jumping out in neon lights. I'll give you that.
Oh my goodness!
I'll put you out of your misery right now.
And the AL or the NL? The AL.
It was the AL.
If you got the NL, give it to me. Wasn't the NL? And I only remember this because they played the Giants in the League Championship Series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it Jerome Walton of the Cubs?
Hell yeah, it was. Jerome was all downhill from there, by the way. That was the best year Jerome Walton ever had. Greg Olson on the Orioles was the American League Rookie of the Year. He had a really good ERA, and he had about 27 saves. I had to look that one up. Greg Olson was your 89 American League Rookie of the Year, not Ken Griffey Jr. I don't know if that lines up well with the way we'll tell the story of baseball in history, but indeed that happened. The Mariners, like you said, yeah, three rookies in the year of 1989 that made their major league debuts. Junior Griffey, Omar Vizquel, who, again, I don't even remember him as a Mariner. I would have bet a lot of money that he had broke through with the Cleveland Indians and lost a lot of money on that bet. Clint Zavaris was also the Mariners rookie that year. He went 1-6 in 10 games, never got another season. Respect Clint Zavaris, wherever you are. He was Greek.
Edgar Martinez also in that on that roster at that time. He played third base, and he started in that game as well.
That's when he was actually played in the field.
Yeah, another great hitter that was in that game.
Yeah, a rare start at third for Edgar.
Yeah, well, but I correct me if I'm wrong, but I think their everyday starter was actually Jim Presley. Because I think Edgar only got in like 175, 180 at bats at your plate appearances. I don't even think he had 170 at bats.
Yeah, 171.
Well, I was wrong. Way off. 170 at bats.
See, in my book, that qualifies as right.
No, way I said off. He didn't have that, so I failed.
Oh, well, yeah, you're wrong. Yeah,
I know the studio's getting John Shea in line. John is, of course, a columnist in San Francisco for the Chronicle. Just a good guy. Always a pleasure to bump into in press boxes. I'm guessing, Ray, one of the rare people that you actually like in the media.
No, not really.
Okay, fair enough. He has an idea that says if we do have a year, let everybody in the postseason. A shortened spring training would be necessary. Let's say that happens in July, and the regular season is in 2 months, in August and September. All games would be played at team spring training facilities to limit travel and to televise it all back to the fans at home. Same thing happening with Florida. So instead of the American and National League, we're basically having a Cactus and Grapefruit League. And the playoffs would basically be the World Baseball Classic meeting March Madness. John Shea likes to propose 15 teams in Arizona. You have 15 teams in Florida as well. We would divide them into three pools of five teams seeded according to the regular season records. Like the World Baseball Classic, teams would play a round robin for guaranteed. So everyone's guaranteed four games apiece. Eventually, you get down to the top eight in Arizona and Florida. Then you start your best of five series. That gets you the final two teams, one from Arizona, one from Florida, leading to your ipso facto World Series out of nowhere. And in the name of that's a new idea. I don't know if it's a good idea, but I'll take a conversation from any sports idea. We are really, really happy to say hello to John Shea, the Shea Hay kid, if there ever was one. And I also really want to talk to him about the chance he got to sit and spend many, many hours with Willie Mays as he was working on his new book about Willie Mays. John Shea on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Kolsky here today. We got John Dickinson. And unfortunately, John, Ray Ratto is here today. Be ready.
How you doing, fellas?
We're doing very, very well. I liked your idea. I don't know if it's doable or feasible, but to sit back and think about it for a while, if you wanted to just admit, all right, there's a crazy thing going on, so we should just let everyone in and ollie ollie oxen free with it. You do have the best idea, John, that I think I've seen.
Well, if we're going to limit the markets, let's stick with 10, but a half a season or even 2 months of a season, realistically, if we get a season at all, and maybe the odds aren't even with that based on where these virus numbers are trending today. But if, we're real optimistic and think that there's going to be baseball and there is baseball, and maybe we won't get more than 2 months. And if we only get 2 months, I mean, that's not real good indication of how good a team is that you would see over 162. So why limit the teams? And in an environment where goodwill needs, an upgrade in pretty much every baseball market and beyond, why not let them all in? So if you let them all in, I just came up with this way with the World Baseball Classic, their early round robin play with the pool play, and then graduate to the to the best of three, and then best of fives, and then the World Series. So it could all be done in a month, just another way, just something to talk about, guys.
It's like baseball on steroids. Oh no, wait, no, we shouldn't say that.
Oh yeah. So I mean, if the Giants could make a playoffs, and who would have thunk Gabe Kapler in year one would make the playoffs with a I also devised a plan in which all the teams would stay at their spring training sites, so there wouldn't be any travel, and you just play the Arizonas, and they just play the Floridas, and they play 58 games, they play four times against each of the Arizona teams, and likewise in Florida, and so you got enough games, and then why have a regular season at all? Well, the regular season would kind of determine the pool play and tiebreakers in the pool play.
I don't want to get into the details of how you would do this, given all the uncertainty around us and the things you have to pretend that aren't real. Baseball has always sort of been the very definition of a marathon. Why is a sprint going to be in this fictional world? I don't know how to even frame the question. How is a sprint going to pass itself off as a baseball season? Or is this just not meant to be a baseball season? It's a throw off to kill a month.
And why they're talking about extra doubleheaders and fewer off days goes against everything the players' union has stood for in recent years. We've done nothing but prolong the season to give players more time off every month, to give players more time off during the All-Star break. So I don't think we're going to see extra doubleheaders or let's ram all these games in, let's play seven innings. That's sort of ridiculous. But, if you only have 2 months, you only have 2 months. And then you have time for 56 games. But realistically, if you step back, is that even going to happen? I mean, it's not going to happen in May. It's not going to happen in June. Probably not going to happen in July. The way we're going with this, it's just all talk for now. But and then you have spring training. Now, remember the 94-95 strike where they had 6 weeks of replacement player games. Ray, you love that stuff. The plumbers against the hod carriers. But once
hod carriers? How old are you?
And well, this was 94-95. And once that ended and the real players came back, they were only given about 3 weeks to get ready for the season, which is fine for relievers and hitters. But starting pitchers, I mean, there were some injuries. And they didn't go very deep into games. And, you know, we know more about that stuff now. And they wouldn't allow, you know, pitchers after 3 weeks to go very deep into games anymore. So it's maybe they give them more than 3 weeks, which even sets it back further.
I guess it's just a philosophical question about why you would want, why there is value or sufficient value in sort of bastardizing a season with a 1 month playoff, as opposed to just saying, sorry, no baseball this year. I mean, they've done that before, so it wouldn't be unprecedented. The union would continue. I kind of get a sense that such a construct, and I'm sure baseball would think of it if they could, would just seem more empty than full, that you'd get just enough of a taste of baseball to go, that wasn't nearly enough, and I'm not satisfied.
And maybe there's a date in July, late July, where they actually do call it off. And they're already preparing for that, because the agreement last week between the owners and players was for the players to get $700 million and divide that, which is nothing like the $4 billion the players were going to get over a full season. And as a concession, the draft will go only five rounds. So the owners are going to save a bunch of money by not playing the players over a full season, and there's no lawsuit to challenge that now because of this agreement, and all the money they would save with the draft. And even the draft, you're not going to get the big money up front. It's going to be staggered over the next few years. So that's already in place, Ray, that they're looking toward a season that won't happen. And, their agreement is in place. Rosters are frozen. Really, there's no activity at all. And meanwhile, I'm reading every day, preparation for the football draft, and will there be a season there? I mean, that starts later and everything, but still, I guess it would be absolutely no surprise at all that there would be no baseball at all in 2020.
Yeah, I guess I'm just talking philosophically. That's all.
Yeah,
go ahead, John.
How many games in? I mean, you're a baseball historian. How many games in your mind does there need to be just for record purposes and everything? Like, and I know you came up with this playoff plan, which kind of goes against that. But for the integrity of the history of the game, how many games do you need to have to make it worth it in your mind?
Well, I think you need 100. That's kind of what we saw in 81 with the split season, another labor issue. And that was kind of messed up. What the Cincinnati Reds, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ray, but they had the best record in baseball. They didn't even make the playoffs because it was the first half winner against the second half winner, and the Reds finished second both times and had a combined better record than other teams, but didn't make the playoffs. This is pretty wild card. And in 95, there were 144 games, which is a long season. I mean, just before 62, there was 154 game schedules before 1962. So I would say 100 to make it genuine and authentic, but I don't see how that could be possible.
John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle has co-authored a book with Willie Mays, and that's got to be an extraordinary experience for you to be dictating your memories to Willie and have him taking those notes down. Really something else. I'm sure that's the direction all the information flowed in. No, I'm guessing this is more about Willie Mays than it is you, John. Tell us a little bit about this book and your experience sitting down with one of the true icons in American sports history.
It's just an amazing experience. It goes back many years. I probably asked him about 15 years ago about putting the book together, and he didn't say yes or no, but he said if we did, it would be something that he would like to see in classrooms. So from there, we took it to an inspirational angle, and it's life lessons, it's life stories, 24 chapters, but an amazing, lifetime experience, really, to spend all the time that Willie gave me with him. The access, I can't see any other book that he ever worked on, giving the other guy this much access. And also, what's different about this is it's all new. It's nothing that you would have seen in another book. So I have more than 200 interviews with other people. And from that, whether it's a Hall of Famer or Negro League teammate or, childhood buddy, I interviewed a couple of presidents, the artists, musicians. So I took all the information I, got elsewhere to Willie, and then, he supplemented the storytelling. I kind of put it on a tee for him, and obviously he hit it out of the park, right? That's what he does. And from there, we put together 24 chapters, each with part of his life, part of his career, accentuated it. And, some of it is a look at his career in modern times. There's a whole chapter on what, today's, analytics, how they would be measured with Willie's numbers today. And instead of the two MVPs, people I spoke with said he could have gotten 8 or 11.
What did you learn during these conversations that maybe surprised you? Because I think everybody's known that as a baseball player, Willie Mays' intellect was genuinely elite. I mean, he essentially managed games from center field. That's been told many times. But was there anything in all these conversations that took you aback and made you maybe rethink Mays for the better, or maybe even just in a different way than you imagined?
Well, we were talking about Jackie Robinson and Monty Irvin and, the Negro Leaguers who broke the color line, Larry Doby. Jackie broke it in 47, and Willie came along just 4 years later in 51. And, some things that Willie told me kind of gave me chills. Like the time he told me that, when I asked him, I said, well, Willie, what if these, you know, silly owners, these racist owners, you know, maintain their ignorance? And then, you know, you popped up and, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you were the first. And he looked at me and said, no, I wasn't smart enough. And I he kind of froze me. I said, what do you mean you weren't smart enough? I mean, you're a freaking genius, you know, the way you played ball and, you know, the way, you know, you were a teammate and always anticipated outcomes. And he said, no, I mean, you look at Jackie, you know, he went to UCLA, he married Rachel, he went to college, you know, served in the military. You know, he was the guy. And that was Willie's way of saying, you know, I defer to the man. And it just hit me. I said, man, oh, man, you know, this such a long time ago, such a different time. And, you know, the stuff he's telling me is just kind of blowing me away. So it's, you know, a lot of race issues in the book, a lot of, you know, people weighing in who knew him at a young age and, you know, how valuable he was to the civil rights movement, for example.
Even our heroes had heroes. Thank you very much, John. Really appreciate you stopping on by. Best of luck with the book. We miss seeing you down with today's the day we should all been rubbing elbows in the press box. Didn't happen, obviously. We look forward to when it does. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle. Since 1954, Golden State Lumber has been there for professional builders and contractors. They remain their top concern. That's why the lumber yard is open from 6 to 3 Monday through Friday. Golden State Lumber remains committed to their professional customers. Next day delivery on orders to enable work to continue on essential projects. Professional builders call 855-GSL-YARD. That's 855-GSL-YARD for lumber yard locations. GoldenStateLumber.com. Golden State Lumber here for you during an unprecedented crisis. For three generations, they've been providing outstanding customer service. Golden State Lumber, when you succeed, we succeed. And thank you for helping us succeed, Golden State Lumber, with your business. We certainly, certainly appreciate it. Rex Ryan giving Amari Cooper the business over on ESPN. We're going to hear about that in just a minute. Fans aren't the only one missing basketball games, and it looks like the Masters has set its eye on maybe playing later this year. We're going to tell you all about that next. Damon Ratto and Kolsky with John Dickinson in all week here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson in for Matt Kolsky today. We just had John Shea from the San Francisco Chronicle stop on by talking about his book about Willie Mays, about his idea to let every team in baseball into a round-robin playoff thing that just kind of puts the cherry on top of a sundae that's going to be funny-tasting no matter how we try to serve it up. It was interesting to hear what he had to say and his ideas. We always love talking with John Shea, good guy all around. I don't know if you guys noticed that Justin Turner, Los Angeles Dodger, had this suggestion about how to make sure we all got home earlier from Major League Baseball games. He said that every game that goes into extra innings beyond the 10th should turn into instant home run derby to decide the winner instead of just playing extra innings until it all gets decided. Told Spectrum Sports earlier this week, quote, instead of playing 17 innings, you get one extra inning. You play the 10th. And if no one scores, you go to a home run derby. You take each team's three best hitters and give them all five outs and see who hits the most homers. Okay, a little bit to get into there. Ray, first thing that jumps out to me, who indeed would be throwing the pitch in this now fictitious home run derby? Is this live pitching? Is this you get five hacks at my best fastball and I'm the closer? Or do you get to bring out your own bench coach who just throws lollipops in there like it's the All-Star game? So let's just start with that. How do we determine that?
My guess is he would imply that. The he would get to pick. It would be like a true home run derby, right?
Lollipop it.
Yeah, a home run derby implies batting practice fastballs. And
I don't want batting practice to determine a baseball game. Plus, I think the one thing that we have talked about almost endlessly as baseball's gone through its sort of attendance malaise is that there isn't enough action in a game. And a home run derby is the absolute antithesis of action. Not only that, I don't think long extra inning games are necessarily a problem. It's the pace at which the games are played. It's the dead time. Time of game is not sort of the litmus test for whether a game is interesting or boring. It's, was there action in the game? And if there wasn't action in the game, 10 innings is going to feel just the same as 15. So to me, I think it takes what's out of balance about baseball and elevates it well beyond its rational place. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I'm not either for several reasons. Justin Turner went on to explain why exactly he is recommending going home run derby after the 10th inning in extras.
Instead of playing 17 innings, yes, just in that you get one extra inning, you play the 10th inning, no one scores, then you go to a home run derby. You take each team's three best hitters and you give them all, you know, five outs and see who hits the most homers. And, you know, you want to keep fans in the stands till the end of the game. I know when I go to hockey games, I actually enjoy watching the shootouts. So that keeps me in my seat. So maybe a home run derby will do that as well.
I can't stress enough how no microphone should be put in front of Justin Turner's face ever again. I mean, just shut up, buddy. Look, let me tell you right now. Your idea is awful. The idea is awful. First of all, there's no sport in the world looking to get its ideas on how to attract more people from hockey. I mean, that right there doesn't make any sense. Hockey has almost no eyeballs on it, so you don't need to do anything like hockey because it's an exciting concluding finish. I mean, get out of here right there. And I like a shootout and a penalty shot as much as the next guy, don't get me wrong. But what I also like are consequences. Consequences to me matter. And baseball is a war of attrition. The whole point is you want to get this over in 9 innings. Because you don't want to go to extras. You don't want to tax bullpens. You don't want to have a guy going too long who you're counting on pitching tomorrow night. You don't want to overtax an entire staff or tire guys out or keep them from getting back to the hotel fast. All of it goes into the war of attrition that is the season. The let's get out of here as fast as possible crowd. How are you even baseball fans to begin with? The game's not meant to be a sprint. Never was. Wasn't supposed to. It wasn't designed for Twitter. It wasn't supposed to be catering to short attention spans. That's what I hate most about it. That's what offends me most about it. Score your runs and win the game when you're supposed to. If not, suffer the consequences. One extra inning game, long enough, can screw up a baseball team for 4 or 5 days. And that's sort of the deranged beauty of the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I also think there's something to be said for, you know, consider the source in terms of, yeah, Justin Turner wants to see and have a home run derby as a member of the team that hits, you know, as many or more home runs as anybody else in the game in the Dodgers.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, the Giants right now are like, bad idea.
So I think there's a small element to that as well. He'd be thinking, yeah, we play home run derby, we're going to come out on top more often than not and relatively quickly.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to tell him to shut up. I mean, any idea ought to be good as long as you can discuss it. It's not, I don't think it's feasible. I think it flies in the face of what baseball is at its essence. And I don't think it attacks the real problem, which to me is sort of the lack of athleticism, the lack of, you know, seeing speed, the lack of seeing, you know, great plays in the field. I mean, it just there's nothing more static than batting practice. And to me, baseball's issues are not just that, you know, it's not being played as much at the youth level as it used to be, because Little League can often be really painful. It's really about the fact that there's way too much standing around and not nearly enough of the things that make basketball more dynamic and football more dynamic and hockey more dynamic and soccer more dynamic, which is seeing players doing remarkable things.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the error in his theory, which is that it basically takes something that takes some athleticism, but not a lot, but it is still very static. And it makes it, it ingrains it as even more the central theory of the game than it has been. And I don't know where that ends up, except that people aren't going to be flocking to the ballpark anymore. I think all that's doing is telling people you're not going to be there for 4.5 hours. You're going to be there for 4, but you're still going to be bored out of your skull.
To me, the 3 most important words that baseball needs to marry itself back to: ball in play. Ball in play. That's what this sport is missing. You have too many discerning eyes, too many home runs, too many strikeouts, too many guys looking to draw a walk. There's not enough balls in play. Not enough balls in play means there's not enough action on the base paths, means there's not enough base runners, means there's not any bang-bang plays, there's no 6-4-3s, there's no stand-up sliding head first, nothing. I mean, ball in play is generation of all the action that you're talking about. A home run is not a ball in play. That ball is out of play. So, here, Ray, you are right. Let's wrap up this hour with a little message from Larry David, who no one would think would really be the "let me tell you how to take good care of yourself" campaign, but all this Hollywood celebrities asked about it, and to do it, Larry David did it. Here he is.
I basically want to address the idiots out there, and you know who you are. You're going out. I don't know what you're doing. You're socializing too close. It's not good. You're hurting old people like me. Well, not me. I have nothing to do with you. I'll never see you. But, you know, other old people who might be your relatives. Who the hell knows? But the problem is you're passing up a fantastic opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to stay in the house, sit on the couch, and watch TV. I mean, I don't know how you're passing that up. Well, maybe because you're not that bright, but here it is. Go home, watch TV. That's my advice to you. You know, if you've seen my show, nothing good ever happens going out of the house. You know that. There's just trouble out there. It's not a good place to be. So stay home and you know, don't see anyone. Except maybe if there's a plumbing emergency, let the plumber in and then, you know, wipe everything down after he leaves. But that's it. Okay.
Welcome, one and all, to your 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
How would you like to be the person?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.